this week's parsha is an excellent opportunity to speak about the topic of dreams. And we find, as you'll see here on your page, that in Parshas Vayeshev, we have dreams galore all over the place. You know, we start the parasha with the dreams of Yosef, and you'll remember the pasuk that says, "V'aviv shomar es hadavar." Yaakov was very, very careful about the dreams of Yosef. He didn't take them lightly. Although he was perplexed, according to Chazal, by the fact that there was not only a Shemesh, but a Yoreach. Yoreach symbolizing Yosef's mother, Rachel, who had already died. And we'll see about that a little later. But nevertheless, "Aviv shomar es hadavar." And then if we fast forward to the end of Parshas Vayeshev, we find once again the significance of dreams, the Sarah Mashkin, the Sarah Ofim. Yosef interprets the dreams, and the dreams are not to be taken lightly, they come through. They actually come to fruition. And therefore, the question that we'd like to raise today, and we'll see this again in Parshas Miketz, you know, with Paro's dreams, which, you know, they give Yosef the key to rise to be the second of the empire. And not only that, it saves the entire empire because of these dreams. Well, let's ask ourselves the question, is there any significance to dreams? And I'm asking specifically as far as halacha is concerned, does the halacha take dreams into consideration? So if you take a look at the third paragraph on your page, it says, "Hashayla shenishal tatzmeinu b'marazeh, mayu mashma'ut hilchatit shel chalamot." Is there any halachic significance to dreams? A person, for example, took a neder in a dream, a vow in a dream, or a person was put into cherem, into excommunication in a dream, and don't laugh, because the Gemara actually takes this very seriously.
What does it mean?
Cherem means that he's not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to wash his body, there are different kinds of charamim or neduyim. And there are other cases which we'll get to. We'll have to, you know, again, I'm going to try to push in a lot into the time that we have. And there are monetary cases. For example, a person dreams that that which he's holding on to, or that which he inherited from his father, is not his, it belongs to someone else. And then there are dreams that touch on danger. For example, if a person was in fact put into nidui, into this excommunication, it's very dangerous if he doesn't observe the laws. And a host of other cases that are addressed by the Gemara. What is the ruling? How do we relate to dreams? And I don't know if anyone here in this room has ever had the experience of doing what's called a Hatarat Chalom. Some, especially among Sfaradim, on Erev Hashanah, they have the minhag of doing this as a matter of ritual. I had a bad dream. And you should know that if a person has a bad dream, they fast. Again, this is not Psak Halach, I'm just telling you in theory, they fast, even on Erev Yom HaKippur, which is a mitzvah of Achila. That's how severe and serious is a dream. So we shouldn't take dreams lightly. Although, in many cases, for example, Yaakov, because he sees that not all of Yosef's dream could possibly come true, he calls it Dvarim B'Telim, which means there are parts of the dream that are absolutely meaningless and have no significance. But how do I relate to a dream? You know, if you're telling me that part of the dream is insignificant, but what about the main thrust of the dream? And what are the halachic ramifications of a dream? That's what we want to spend a little time on today. I thought this would be a fascinating topic, and no better a time than in Parshas Vayeshev. So if you take a look at your page, you'll see that the case of Yosef is not the only case in Tanakh of dreams, and dreams that are to be taken seriously. For example, Yaakov Avinu back in Parshas Vayetze goes up and down a ladder in his dream. And Chazal see deep layers and layers of meaning to what God is telling Yaakov Avinu. Ushmarani b'chol aderech. I will be with you, Yaakov is told by Hashem in the dream. And not only that, your descendants will inherit the land of Israel. That's all based on a dream. Shlomo HaMelech, for example, in his dream, comes forward and asks Hashem for chachma. And God responds in the affirmative, bestowing upon Shlomo Chachma. Avimelech back in Parshas Vayera gets a dream. Lavan gets a dream in Parshas Toldos. And all these dreams are taken very seriously. But on the other end of the spectrum, Zechariah Novi declares, Chalomot Hashav Yedaberu. That Chalomot Olashav. They have no meaning whatsoever. Koheles states, Ki berov chalamot havalim, Most dreams are hevel, they're vanities, and they have no significance whatsoever. Now, it could be possible that in the cases of Zechariah and Shlomo HaMelech, we're talking about kosmim. Those are the, you know, the soothsayers and all these prophets of that are insignificant, and they take dreams and they reinterpret them, and that's meaningless. So I'm not sure if we can base ourselves totally on those two psukim in Tanakh to tell you that dreams are sheker and hevel and they have no significance to it. But turn, if you will, to page 2, and we'll see a Gemara in Masechet Brachos. And this you'll see, Omar Rabbi Yochanan on the second paragraph in the name of Rabbi Shimon. And the statement is, Kishem she'efsha l'teven blobar, where we cut down the grains, we'll find different pebbles inside of them, which is called psolet, kach i'efsha l'chalom b'li dvarim b'teilim. That there are parts of the chalom of a dream that are indeed meaningless. And the Gemara derives this from Yaakov's statement about Yosef's dream. But nevertheless, my friends, from the very fact that there are Dvar Metalim in a dream, what does that seem to indicate about a dream? Is it all meaningless?
No.
No, it seems to be the opposite, that we should take dreams seriously. The question is, how do you decipher, how do you do the Borer and take out the Psolet, the Dvar Metalim, from the rest of the dreams? In fact, in the first paragraph on your page, a Gemara in Brachos, this time on Nonhei Amid Beis, claims that dreams are influenced by what goes on in a person's daily life on a daily basis. He says, "Ein mari lo li adam elmi herhure libo." What we're thinking about during the day will have a direct impact on what we dream at night. And not only that, the Gemara says it's not just the nefesh that dreams; it's also impacted by the guf. If we eat certain things, we're going to dream certain dreams. What goes on during the day will influence our dream at night. Clearly, the dream is not prophetic, and therefore it doesn't have to obligate me halachically.
So these are only dreams at night? They're not like spacing out during the day? Or?
I don't think there's any significance to spacing out during the day. I don't know. I could be wrong. You know, Aaron, you ask an excellent question, but I think we're going to focus now on dreams at night, and then maybe we'll be intelligent enough to talk about spacing out during the day.
Unless it's Nevuah.
Yeah, the only Navi that had Nevuah during the day was Moshe Rabbeinu. All the other Nevi'im had Nevuah only at night.
According to, you know, like the Rambam Shita, that there was the Malachim only happen in a dream, they're not real.
Right, Rambam in Mor Nevuah.
Yes, I'm saying that means that all those episodes happen during the day, you know.
Well, no, I would say the other way, Adam, that all those episodes never happened at all. The Rambam would take Parshias in the Torah and just rip them out of the Torah and say they never happened.
I thought it
was all in a dream.
It
was all in a dream. You know, the dream took place at night. Uh-huh. That which occurred within the dream took place during the day.
I felt like he's waiting by his tent. He fell asleep and then.
Whatever it is, you know, he saw these Archim during the day in his dream, but the Archim never came, not during the day, not during the night. But the dream, insofar as its prophecy, took place at night, with the only exception of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara continues there in Brachos and says, Chalom, afal pisha miktzato mitkayem, kulo eno mitkayem. You know, it's not so that even if you get a prophetic dream, it's not so to claim that the entire dream, from beginning to end, from soup to nuts, is a prophecy. There'll be dvarim b'telim. And the Gemara never takes a Freudian approach to dreams, you know, that we have to subject you to some sort of psychoanalysis to figure out, you know, what a dream is. But on the other hand, the Gemara actually dedicates an entire chapter, the last chapter of Masechet Brachos, to interpreting dreams. Again, they're not Freudian interpretations, but they are interpretations of dreams. In fact, the Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Nun Zayin Amid Bet, Chalom hu echad mishishim l'nevuah. It's 1/60th of prophecy. So again, it's not a prophecy in the full sense, but this is the way prophecy continues, even in our time, in the post-prophetic era. We get prophecy even today, but it's in a different form. And therefore, prophecy insofar as it comes through a dream, is very skeptical. We should be very skeptical about prophecy, as we saw the pasuk in Zechariah says, "Chalomot hashav yedaberu." But here I want to tell you something about Shmuel.
It's chalomot hashav yedaberu or chalomot shav yedaberu.
Shav yedaberu, I think it says in the pasuk. I don't have a Zechariah in front of me.
That means that all dreams are.
Yeah, shav yedaberu. Again, unless we assume he's referring to the Kosmin that we spoke about before, shav yedaberu. But now I want to share with you, Shmuel, and this is where the plot grows thicker. This is where it gets really exciting. The Gemara tells us about Shmuel, that Shmuel used to have two types of dreams. This is the paragraph that starts Hahit Yachsut, if you want to follow inside. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 paragraph down from the top of page 2. He says the following. If he had a bad dream, Chalom Ra, he would stand up in the morning, wake up and say, Chalamot Shav Yedaber. He would quote that pasuk. But if he had a good dream, he would read the same pasuk with a question mark, bit miyah, v'chiyah chalamot hashav yedaberu. And basically, Rava says that there's a contradiction between one statement of Shmuel and the other. In the first statement, Shmuel just completely dismisses the significance of a dream. But in the second case, he accepts the dream as being true, as being genuine. Says Rava, you know how to reconcile these two statements of Shmuel, or these two behavior patterns of Shmuel? Says Rav, it all depends. If the agent that brings about this dream that causes you to dream is a shade, you know, those are the bad malachim, then shav yedaberu, take no heed to such a dream. But if the dream comes through a malach, through an angel of Hashem, then you have to take the dream seriously. Okay, great, Rav. But how do I know who was the agent that brought the dream about? Was it a shade or was it a malach? Can you give me some sort of criterion, some sort of standard? How do I know who's causing me to dream? Are they the spirits of evil or is the powers of good? And this is the strangest Gemara I've ever seen, because the Gemara gives us a yishuv on a stira based on Rava's explanation of Shmuel, but without giving me a clue. How do I treat this? And this is the ambivalence about a dream.
Maybe it's good dreams, bad dreams. Like it says, it was a Ra, so...
But that's not what Rava says. Rava's saying that it's not based on whether it's good or bad. Whether it's good or bad is a reflection of whether it was brought about by a shade and it's bad. Whether it's brought about by Hashem through a kind of malach, then it's good. He doesn't really establish any criterion. So my friends, that's the Gemara in Brachos. Now we want to fast forward. You know, Shas has many parts to it. All the way from Brachos to Masechta Sanhedrin. Okay, I'm happy to see that the food has arrived.
Sorry,
has arrived. This is for you, Micha. Okay, fine. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you have it? What does the Gemara say? Thank you, Micha. There was a man who died. Okay, and his father bequeathed him a lot of money. Ach lo yada, he had no clue where the money is. Heichan hakesef nimtza. Could you imagine this case? You know, you inherit globs of money. I mean, the money is, you know, is up there. Like, it just glides of money. But where is it? I don't know where it is. It's hidden. So his father comes to him in a dream. And he tells him exactly where the money is. But then he tells him something else, which maybe the son wasn't so happy to find out about. That money was mos meiser sheni, which means you have to take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it, the Kedusha, and be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas meiser sheni b'Yerushalayim. Guess what? He wakes up, he goes to the exact location his father indicated in the dream, and sure enough, that's where he finds the money. What's the halachic issue now, Rabosai?
The second part was batal, right?
No, but I'm saying, what's the halachic question that he has to ask himself?
Is it Maaser Sheni or not?
Is it Maaser Sheni? Okay. So the Gemara comes to the following conclusion, Aaron, and you'll be happy to hear it next time this happens to you. Your grandfather, your grandparents alive? Your grandparents alive?
Grandmothers.
Grandmothers. Okay, so your grandfather, we can say your grandfather. Okay, mm-hmm. comes to you in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So like you say, you know, let's take the ratio, but let's leave out the sefer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the Gemara paskins. So I thought you'd be happy about that.
Divrei
chalomos lo mailim velo maridim. He's got the money. Let him put it in the bank or spend it. Even though, after all, hitgashmut hachalom v'nogele bikum hakesef, the dream came true, it materialized in terms of where to find the money, but yet he doesn't have to be choshesh that the money has the status of what? Of maisa sheni. And guess what? The Rambam codifies this halacha in Hilchos Zchiyah Matana, Perek Yud halacha Zayin. You and I might have thought the Gemara is just telling me stories. And the Rambam writes, "Hareishaya mitzar al Moshe niach lo av v'lo yoda hechan ich biyom." He doesn't know where his father hid the money. The amru lo b'chalom, he was notified in a chalom. Kach v'kachem, this is the exact sum of money. He didn't even know how much money it was. He found that in the dream. Uvimakom ploni, hey. And look what the Rambam adds in the next three words. Please pay attention. He says, "V'hein shel ploni." These monies belong to so-and-so. The Rambam's not talking about Maisa Sheni yet. We'll get that in a minute. But right now, the Rambam's telling you that the money that you have belongs to so-and-so. That's what you heard in the dream. And everything in the dream clicks. Vishal Maisa Sheni. U'matzo b'makom ploni shenemro. U'biminyan shenemro. Exactly amount to where it was. Omru chachamim, says the Rambam. Divrei chalomos lo mailim v'lo moridin. Don't pay attention. Take the money and run with it.
It makes sense, though.
Why?
Because don't
to me, it doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, go ahead.
Don't we learn that the Torah doesn't exist in Shemayim, it exists here. So anytime there's a Baskel, anytime there's anything, we don't give one way or the other. So we just...
Hold on a second. You're making a brilliant statement, but it's incorrect. Sorry. I mean, Lefi Ani Zdaiti, again, you can fight me tooth and nail. But the way I understood Lo v'Shamayim Hi Eim Hashgichim v'Baskel, that's as far as Psak Halach is concerned. But as far as Metzius is concerned, meaning the reality of what's true and what's false, it's very difficult. I'm very hard-pressed to assume this dream is false. Everything clicks in the dream. He tells you exactly how much money, where to find it. My gosh, what happened over here?
Well, as long as in the Metzius there's nothing that contradicts it, then we're fine. But the fact that he has a chazak on it now, and that guy comes to tell me, because you dreamt something, you have to give it to me.
Okay. So you were machabi to the Tashbates, who lived about 6 centuries ago. But let's just see it slowly but surely. So he says again, he summarizes the Rambam sheet at the bottom of your page 2, and he says that according to the Rambam, even though your father is telling you in a dream that the money is in your hands as a pikadon, and you have to return it to its rightful owner, ain chov al yorish lahachzir, he doesn't have to return it. Not only codified by the Rambam, it's also codified by the Shulchan Aruch, choshe mishpat simon reish nun hei, haya pikadon v'yad avihem. Going on to page 3, v'eino yodea heichan hinicha, v'hoyelo b'chalom, is therefore Hare and Shalom. It's yours, you don't have to give it to my Sashani, you have to give it to that person. Everything is fine until we get to a Gemara Nedarim. Are you ready for this? Are you paying attention? Are you holding on to your...
The Rambam doesn't say Reish Shalom.
Well, no, the Rambam just says Divrei Chalomos Lo Mailim V'lo Morid. So what do you do with the money? I mean, it's yours.
Well, see, let's say there's a Tovei, there's a Tuvaidim come and say it belongs to
Oh, that's something else. Yeah, a Tuvaidim. But we're talking about a case where there's no evidence. The only evidence is the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if I don't want to prejudice you, but I think that evidence is pretty stark.
Even with that, let's say maybe it's an Aveda.
Right.
Yichayim Hashav is Aveda. So for the Rambam's mash, I think you're Chayim Hashav Saveda.
No, wait a second, Adam. What do you mean by Hashav Saveda? His father told him it's an Aveda? Is that the case?
No, the father told him, go to this place, go to this the corner.
Right, and pay back so-and-so.
And you'll find their money.
Back so-and-so.
Right. So now he goes and finds it in the middle of the street. Now without that dream, Chayim Hashav Saveda.
Oh, no, Adam. That's an interesting question unto itself. But that's not the case in the Rambam. The case in the Rambam is that he knew that his father had the money. during his lifetime.
Some money, isn't it? That's a minute.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, it's not like money out in the, you know, in the, out there in the desert. Okay. You know, it's not like the story in Prague over here. You know, we under the bridge. You know, there's money. Okay.
What if there's Simon there, and someone else comes and says, "No, I know that this
irrelevant. Came with irrelevant. Your it's not in the game. It's this is your money. You inherited from your father. It's in your chazok. It's in your possession. You don't have to cough it up." Except for Gemara Nedarim. Now here, I would like you to be with me as we jump into this Gemara Nedarim, because this is going to change our whole understanding. The Gemara says in Nedarim the following. A man sees himself in a dream as a menuda. And menuda means that he has to be noeg minhage nidui, which means he's got to walk around barefoot. He's not allowed to cut his hair. He can't wash his body in hot water. Again, all the dinim, you have to learn Masechta Nedarim, the last parak in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam. Omar Rav Yosef. So, Rav Yosef, what should be your intuitive response, your knee-jerk response in this case?
He's not.
I mean, what does it say in the Gemara? I mean, based on what we saw in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that your father told you exactly where it is and who it belongs to, and the Rambam says it's meaningless. Divrei chalomos lo ma'ilim v'lo moridim. Omer Rav Yosef nido b'chalom tzorech asora b'nei odom la'atiro. You need what's called hataras nidui, which means you have to get 10 people together to be matir the nidui, and the Rambam passes like that in the 7th parak in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Misha nido b'chalom afilu yoda mi nidohu. Okay, this is all the prerequisites of Hatorah. Who could be qualified for Hatorah's Nidui? Is then the Rambam says there are different dinim of Nidui, which we don't have to go into. Sometimes you don't get Asorah, you can rely on three. Nish'elet ha'sheila rabozai im divrei chalomos lo ma'ilim v'lo moridim lo metzorech lahatir's nidui yoshal misha nido v'chalom. So here we're going to have machlokas between two of the great meshivim, the great responsa. One is the Tashbetz, and then we're going to have an opinion of the Shivat Zion on the left side of the page. But first let's do the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz doesn't understand. How do we reconcile the fact that on the one hand, my father tells me exactly where the money is and who it belongs to, I don't have to listen. Divrei chalom es lomayim v'lomorin. On the other hand, Ido b'chalom, he needs hataras nidui. Zokta Tashbetz. There are two types of dreams. I know there are two types of dreams, but what are they? Okay, how do I determine what they are? He says the following. One type of dream, we classify it as what? A dream that came through a malach, as we saw in Rav in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. V'amalach lo yichazeh. Malachim don't tell lies. And therefore we have to take that dream seriously. There's another dream that comes through a sheit. Heim dvarim shel sheker. We don't have to take them seriously, ein lem shachar. Okay, says the Tashbetz. Yesh chalomos tzodkim v'roy lachosh behem. The yesh chalomos bilti tzodkim v'ein lachosh lehem. So, adarama, tagili eich lavchin. How do I know which is which? Correct. So if I don't know what to do in this case, because I'm confused, I cannot discern whether this is a chalomos of a tzaddikim that comes through a malach, or this is a chalomos that came through a shade, and I don't take it seriously, how do I know what to do? And the answer is, I don't know what to do. What's that called in halachic terms? A safek. So how does the Torah, how does the halacha govern? A safek. Says the Tashbetz, it depends. If it's a suffek mamon, then there's one set of rules that apply. If it's a suffek isur, then there's a different set of rules that apply. Says the Tashbetz. This is the paragraph that starts Kamur Liel, if you have it inside. Yaduahu ki bechol davar shebimamon yeshon lahamid hamokom bechezkato. Falzeh amru, and that's what the Gemara says over there in Sanhedrin, that he didn't know where the mos were, and he got a dream that it's a mos, meiser shady, it belongs to Plony, etc. Is that a case of suffek mamon amotzi michavel of a raya? And in any case of suffek, I have a right to maintain my possession over the mamon. That's the yisodis of choshev mishpat dini mamonis. You come to claim that I owe you money, I'd go prove it. The burden of proof is on you. So since I don't know if this is a true chalom or not a true chalom, could you imagine experientially, you know, living your whole life with a dream that your father said you owe this sum of money, which I can tell you exactly where it's verbunden, where it's tied up, to Ploni. And, you know, you don't know whether it's a good dream, a bad dream, whether it's a dream for a mile, you don't know. No. Let this guy, let him stew. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to live with that money. I'm going to fly to Florida or to San Francisco. I don't know, where are they going these days? And I'm going to bask in the sun and let this guy, what do I care? I'm Otsima Chavel Varaya. I don't know if this is a true dream or not. My father told me, and I saw his face clearly. I saw the features of his face. I wanted to go over and give him Yashikai, but he disappeared. Avol b'mishenido b'chalom. This is the punchline because I know the clock is ticking here. But if he saw nidu in what? In his dream. Hareze sofek minude, sofek eno minude. Says the Tashbetz, you know which rules apply in this case? Zeu sofek isura. It's a sofek isur. Has nothing to do with mama. Is he allowed to take a haircut? Is he allowed to clean his clothes? Is he allowed to wash his body? And it's even more complicated because until he gets hataras nidui, all of lisrachik michaver tov dalad amas, he has to stay away from everyone for amas. That's a violation of a serious isur nidui. Umin asafek is hareza osur ad sheyatir es hanidui viatireu basoro. Is whose sheet is that? The Tashbetz, again, just to summarize, Tashbetz has to reconcile. The Sugya in Sanhedrin says, Divrei Chalomos, Lo Mailim, Velo Maridim. The Sugya in the Dorim says, you need a heter for this nidu that you saw in a dream. Zok the Tashbetz, it's really a Sufik. We don't know what the source of the dream is. Is then we kick in with the rules that apply to Sufik. Comes along the Shivas Tzion on the left side of your page, and he says something totally different. Nishal b'divrei astir bein shtei sugyas. What do we do with this contradiction between the two sugyas? And he quotes the Tashbetz, but he has an Abarbanel. Did you ever hear this? I never saw in a tshuva that they quote the Abarbanel. Pilei Ploim. You know, the Abarbanel was from Megurashe Sfarad, year 1492. And the Abarbanel wants to say that there are two types of dreams. What are the two types of dreams? Yesh chalamot hamitavim al yedei siba gufanit. Kegon al yedei ikul hamazon maile edim adei chushlat hamezeg mibriyat haguf, briyut haguf. V'yelu chalamot hem hevel v'hem behem mamish. Omnom yesh chalamot asher ein lahem yichus l'sibat haguf v'hem hora'a v'hoda'a min hashamayim. Heavy language. Onom ze yadu mavur lemofes shagova chalamot nitavu misibat haguf ashaleim omru divrei chalamot einam mailin velo mori. So therefore, most of our dreams come and are caused by what? By physical changes that took place during the course of the day, and therefore we can rely on rov. Kevin sherov rubam shachalamot nitavu misibat haguf verak miut katan. A very small minority of them are Hora Am in Hashemayim, as a prophetic message from the Malach from Shemayim. Is therefore Yesh Lo Lechet Bechol She'ila Shel Isur Achar Rov. The principle is that Rov is Koveya, and therefore, whenever there's a question of Isur, the Rov is going to tell me, "Don't take the dream seriously." And therefore you're allowed to be machriya, you could tip the scale based on the rov in favor of saying that divrei chalomos ein bahem mamish. Kol heichos shedivrei achalom nogeh l'dvar isur, kegon hai dina diyomu lo b'chalom, shema'od sheiniach lo aviyam mos ma'iser sheini. We're talking right now, focus your attention on Meiser Sheni exclusively. Bazeh Shapir Paskinah Shedivrei Chalomos Einon Moridim V'lo Mailim Yan Ki B'chol Dov Yisur Azlina Basaruba V'kevet Sherov Hamos Hein Chulin. Most of the most floating around in the marketplace are not Meiser Sheni moment. V'od Sherov Hamos Hein Hevel V'hem Emam Shaminan Shegam Zeh Hevel V'hu Ha Sug Shel Chalomot Diber Shav. Nu, what about Nidui? Oh, But in the case of Nidui, the reason why I need Hataras Nidui is not because of Isur the way the Tash Bates understood it. Suffik Isur Lechumra, I don't know if it's a true dream or not. As far as Suffik Isur is concerned, what principle would kick in? Rov, that Rov, Rov Chalomos or Divrei Shav. But you know what? Nidui comes under a different category. And it's determined by a different set of rules and regulations in which Rov doesn't make a dent, and that's called Sofek Sakana. Chamira Sakanta Misura. Why? Yesh Lachush, the Baha'i Hoda'a, this message that he's getting from on high. Shenidu Bechalom, Megalim Lo Minashamayim, Shepur. Oh, I have 60 seconds. Shepuranut Atid Lavolav. That something terrible is going to befall him. He needs the Nidui as a kapara, otherwise his life is in the balance, he's in danger. That's the way Nidui works, and that's a Gemara in many places in Masechet Nedarim and elsewhere. Is therefore, we have to activate the principle of the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Yudam and Aleph. Ein holchim v'sakona achar rov. We don't rely on rov b'makom sakona. Okay, everybody, so I have to let you go now. Two approaches to reconcile this contradiction. When do we think that the chalom is just a bunch of bunk, it's hogwash, it's vanities, and when should we take it seriously? According to Tash Bates, it all depends. If we're dealing with mamon, is ein holchim mamon acharov, is safik mamon, lahakil, amotzim mechavol raya, fife to run it, you go fly a kite, I don't have to pay you money until you prove conclusively with two edim, as Adam said before, that I owe you money. But if it's a case of isur, says the Tashfeit, Safik isur l'chumra, in nidui I need hataras nidui, I got to worry about many, many isurim that are included under nidui. Comes along the binya, the Shiva Tzion, he says, nay, that's not what it's all about. It all depends on whether I can apply the principle of Rov. And for all intents and purposes, we can always apply the principle of Rov. Rov chalomos heim divrei shav. And that majority rules even, lo mi bayin dini mamon, even in divrei isur. But there's only one very carved out, circumscribed area of halacha where Rov is impotent and doesn't play a role, and that's with regard to sakana. Is doch 99.9% of the cases, according to the Basia, the Shiva Tzion, would fit into the under the halacha of Divrei Chalomos lo Mailin velo Marid, and 1 in 100 are cases of sakana. My friends, I hope you don't have it, but if you ever have a dream that tells you stay away from danger. You know, like there's going to be, I don't know, Chas Shalom something. Take that seriously, says the Shiva Tzio. Because when it comes to Sakana, if the dream looks real to you, then take it seriously. But that's 1%. And 99% we say, Rov, Tivrei Chalomos, Heim Dvar B'Tim. Okay then? Okay. So now we're going to take a look at the Tzitz Eliezer, which you'll see on the bottom left of page 3. And there may be a distinction between Sakana and Advar Isur in the Tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer. And he's relying heavily, I think, on the Shivas Tzion. So this is in Tzitz Eliezer Chelek Chaf. Tzitz Eliezer is massive, many volumes. And he was asked the following question: Odot chalom shara'a adam et atzmo mishamesh mishtok shi einena Torah. A man dreamt that he had had relations with his wife when she was in nida. And in truth, he had had relations with his wife that very same night before he fell asleep. When they woke up in the morning, he asked her if she would make a bedika, and she made a bedika. And she assured him that she was not in need. But yet he was very shooken up by this experience. He came to ask Rav Waldenberg, does he need to do some sort of tshuva? And Rav Waldenberg said, She'ein lo lasus ma'uma. In other words, dreams have no significance. And again, quoting the halacha, that divrei chalomos lo ma'ilim v'lo moridim. And therefore, there was no need for him to take any action. So that's one tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, and that's with regard to Isur. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer does not address the case of a dangerous situation, and we don't know what he would say in that case. But if you take a look here on the bottom of page 3, there's a tshuva from Rav David Oppenheim. That's called Shut Nishal LeDavid. And the question there was, Odot Misha Chalam Shabal Ish Tobiyet Nidata. Again, a case of a man who had a dream that he had relations with his wife when she was a Nida. And in that tshuva, after of Oppenheim brings the Chazal of Divrei Chalomos Einam Mailin V'lo Meridim, he has a whole long arichus there in which he tries to prove from Chazal and Rishonim how seriously they related to Chalomos, to dreams, and the great concern of Chazal Shechashu L'Divrei Chalomos. He brings the words of the Tashbates, and then he writes the following. Quoting the Tashbates, Matzasi b'shem Rabbeinu Baruch Shesiper Pam Achas Sheochel Rabbeinu Ephraim Zal. We're going back to the Rishonim. Midag Shekorin Beruti. Okay, a certain fish. Berbuti. Ubalila Nirlo Zokin Echad Bal Seva Bal Seir Varis Ponim Ubagudal Zokan. So this man appeared to him, an elderly man who looked very strange. He had a beard, he had long hair, but he had a shining countenance. The Havilo Kupa Malaya Shrotzim, Viomalo Kumechol. He brought him a box that was crawling with insects, and he said, come and eat it. Vinirta Ma'od, Rabbeinu Ephraim was taken aback. Omalo, Halo Shrotzim Haim, how can you tell me to eat this? These are insects. Amar lo, kach elu mutarim kmo ashrotzim shechalta ayom. These insects are okay to the same extent that you had insects earlier today, meaning the fish that you ate. Bekitzo, when Rabbeinu Ephraim woke up, yada shelio zal niglalov, he realized that he had no question that Elio had visited him and appeared to him in a dream. And from that day and on, he stopped eating those fish, realizing that that fish had insects in it. And the Ravan and the Sefer Hasidim and Agos Hashri also quote Chazal in many places to establish that we should take dreams seriously. However, after this whole presentation, Rabbi David Oppenheimer says the following. He goes back to the original distinction of the Tashbates. With regard to Mama, we can apply the principle of Safeg Mama Lakula and Amotz Michav L'Rai, you can keep the money. As the Tashbates had made the distinction, and therefore, in the case of someone who had a dream that he had relations with his wife who was a nida, yesh lachush le'isur, v'lasos takona le'nafsho. In other words, the need for kapara, for a possible isur, comes under the halacha, the rule of safek isur l'chumra. So we see, at least in some of the later tshuvas, the approach of the Tashbates was accepted. And not only that, as part of the proof for the Tashbates, we see the serious nature of Rabbeinu Ephraim's response to the dream, in which he stopped eating a certain fish henceforth because it's an Easter case. And in an Easter case, we have to be super duper careful. Would we also be choshesh to the Shivat Zion that we saw before? In the case of Sakanta, I think maybe yes, because again, there could be some truth to the dream. The dream is coming into to the person as a warning, as a health warning. And here, my friends, we have a section called Chiluk Bein Hora'ah Concretit LeBein Gilui Mitziut. Let's see what that means. In other words, until now we've had two distinctions between the types of dreams that a person dreams and the halakhic approach to these two different categories. One approach was to differentiate between dini momenus and dini isur. The other approach was to differentiate between dini isur and divrei sakona. Now we want to approach a third possibility, another distinction, based on the shach in Choshen Mishpat, in two places, in Shin Lamed Gimel and in Shin Lamed Vav. The shach brings Rishonim, Shenismecha, Das Rishonim, Shenismecha Begili Bechalom, means that the Rishonim, who when they gave their psak on certain halachic issues, they supported their psak by quoting a dream, by quoting some sort of revelation that they had in a dream. And in both these cases, the shach defers the ruling, meaning he rejects them and argues with them, docho samisvara, and when it gets to the part of asmachta mechalom, that they had some support from a dream, the shach writes, ki direi chalomus lo mailim v'lo moridim bazeh. Now he adds the word bazeh. And that extra word bazeh really teaches us that when it comes to psak halacha, we're not going to rely on divrei chalomos. The Talmud says, divrei chalomos lo mailim v'lo moridim, and that appears three times in Shas. In each one of those three occasions, we're talking about a chalom, a dream, shebola horos al sheila hilchatit. There was a concrete halachic shaila. And there, in that context, the Gemara says, reject the significance of a dream, and it's all lo maila v'lo morit. But it's very possible that with regard to other issues that are not halachic in nature, as we're not dealing with issuing a verdict in a suffix in some sort of controversy, where for sure we would apply the principle lo bashamayim hi, and even if there was some significance to the dream as a quasi nevuah, but nevertheless, in halachic terms, we don't rely on nevuah. Ulam, however, mokum sheina chalom bala horos al sheilai hilchatid concreted. If the dream is not telling him something about a concrete halachic issue, el levaser b'sorah la'atid, but rather to foretell something that's going to happen in the future, you know, tidings for the future. For example, he gives the case, kigon mishanadu b'chalom, he was put into excommunication in a dream, and that bodes ill for the future. Shemura al tzarot haba'ot la'adam, it actually reveals that there are some tzaras that had come upon a person, olagayot inyan metziuti, or for example, if let's say we're not paskening on the nature of the dog, but we just want to know something about the reality of the dog, you know, we don't know how to define the species of the dog, is it a kosher species, is it not? So this is a purely factual question, this is a birur, so it's like edus labira dover. That is a gili milsa, and one should take into consideration with some serious attitude what he found out in a dream. It says, Shema yesh ben min amet, maybe the dream is telling him the truth, and it's revealing the facts on the ground, the mitzius. V'al kach nemar, chalom ahave echad mishishim benavua. In this case, we say that the chalom has 1/60th of nevuah. It should be taken seriously. And when we look throughout Tanakh and we see serious dreams, and the Gemara tells us in Chagiga Daf Hey that even in a period of Hester Ponim, when Hashem doesn't reveal Himself to prophets, nevertheless, there is such a thing as Bechalom Adaber Bo. That's a statement of Rava. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Afal Pish Estarti Ponai Mihem Bechalom Adaber Bo. And within the context of this approach, that seems to be borne out by the shach in three places, that the when we discount the dream, it's because the dream is coming to answer a specific concrete halachic issue, and then we apply the principle of lo b'shamayim. But if it's coming to clarify the reality, then we should take it seriously. It's possible that this is the shoresh. This is really the root of chlokas tanoim between Rav Shimon Gamliel And, well, actually, it's between Rabbi Meir Rabbi Nosson in the Gemara and Horios about whether we should listen to a dream. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was personally hurt. He was insulted by the actions of Rabbi Meir Rabbi Nosson, and he mamash exiled them from the Beis HaMedrash until they would come back and apologize to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And after a certain time, he let them come back into the Beis Medrash. But there was a knas, and he didn't want people to mention halachas in their name. They should be called acherim, or yesh omrim. And the Gemara tells us that there was a certain dream that was dreamed by both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nosson. And in the dream, they were instructed to apologize to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel for the offense and the insult that they had caused him. Rabbi Nosson followed the dream, and he went to be Mephias Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whereas Rabbi Meir lo chosh b'chalomo, and he claims, divrei chalomos lo mailim v'lo mori. And it's possible, and that's what this is all about, that the issue here at stake is whether or not the dream is a halachic ruling, or simply, as we say, it's Eitzah Tova Kamashma. How do we view this dream? Rabbi Nosson understood the dream to be a kind of revelation of the Metzius, that, you know, it's a good piece of advice. You highly recommend it to ask Rabbi Shimon Gamliel for mechila, and that's going to bring goodness into the world. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, thought that this dream was giving a psak halacha as to whether or not there was a chiv to be mefayis Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And with regard to halachic shailas, we don't rely on a dream. And this leads us to the whole question of what's called shut min hashamayim. This is a collection of responsa that was authored in France, in Tzarfat, by Rabbi Yaakov Mimariush, in which he offers sheilot u'tshuvot min hashamayim, and includes many, many sheilos, and the author would ask in the dream for a tshuva, for an answer to the question. And all the tshuvas that he got in these dreams were included in the Sefer. And the entire idea, if you will, of this Shut Min HaShamayim is to rely on a dream for halachic rulings. And the question is, can we really rely on dreams for halachic rulings? Which is the principle that underlies this sefer called Shut Min HaShamayim. And there were those poskim who would rely on Shut Min HaShamayim historically. For example, the Chidah, who was one of the great Sephardic poskim, quotes in his Yosef Ometz the tshuva of the Shut Min HaShamayim with regard to the question whether Noshim can recite a bracha on mitzvahs lulav, and normally Sephardim do not allow women to make a bracha on an optional mitzvah, which is a zman groma like lulav, but he, the Chidah, allowed it against the Shulchan Aruch based on this Shut Min HaShamayim. Here's the lashon of the Yosef Ometz. He writes, Nira vadai di ilu maran zal sholtu ma'or enov hakdoshim v'tshuvis Rabbi Yaakov Mimariush. Had the Mechaber, when he authored the Shulchan Aruch, codified the halacha, seen, had he had access to the tshuva Shut Min HaShamayim, is then for certainly he would have had a different psak. Nishmayim mehevi yahavi koach levarach noshim. It's like the women are getting empowered from the Shamayim, from up on heavens, to recite the bracha. Is vadi kachal yaposek umanik, says the Chidah, that's exactly how the Shulchan Aruch would have paskin, but he just didn't have the Shut Min HaShamayim, he didn't have access to that sefer. And therefore the principle of loba shamayim he would not apply here. Came the yesh harbe gdolim beposkin. There are many poskim who do say that a woman should make a bracha on zman groma. Is a hanyele lifso kamosam. Let this gili milsa through the dream from shamayim, as codified by the shut min hashamayim, be machria like those many, many opinions who would advocate in favor of a woman making the bracha. Came with this esiyata dishmaya. And the truth is that this approach of the Chida is very difficult. His reasoning is hard to swallow. You know, we have a principle that Shamayim cannot decide any halachic dispute. I mean, that's the famous Gemara of Tanur Shalachnoi in Bava Metzia Nun Tes Amud Beis. But the truth is that the Chida is not the only one who accepts various Piskei Dinim of the Shut Min HaShamayim. If you look in Shiboli Aleket, which is a Rishon, he also wants to rely on the Shut Min HaShamayim. Of Ruve Margolius writes the introduction that was added to the publication of Shut Min HaShamayim, and he brings a number of opinions of Poskim that relied on the Shut Min HaShamayim, and therefore it's a valid Sefer. Now, if you look in this footnote, number 4, he writes, Gam shut tashbeitz, kosev lachriya b'sheila, shal trefos, al pimash in his galalo b'chalom. Tashbeitz himself had a gili b'chalom, and he relies on it to paskin and trefos. And again, it could be because he was machmir, and that was the sheet of the tashbeitz in general with regard to dreams that with in Isa we have to be machmir. There's the Shut Mari Asad, Sheish L'chalik Ben Horo, L'yochid, B'lein Dvar Mashach, L'kala Tzibur, with regard to a Horo that's relevant to the Tzibur, is Yesh L'smok Yosel Divrei Chalomos. However, and I stand corrected what I said before, the Shiboli Aleket and many others say that we cannot rely on the rulings of Shut Min HaShamayim, and Rav Avadia Yosef has a long discussion about this in Yechav Adas Chelik Aleph. And then Oda Yehuda in Madura Tinyon on Yoredeya and then Simon Lamed, he writes, let's see if we can get the quote here, In lehischashev b'divrei chalomos afil b'chalom shel adam gadol v'afil lahachmir u'mikol shkein lahakil. And we already saw that the Shach says that we don't rely on all those proofs that Rishonim adduced for their shitas, for their verdicts in halacha, when they relied and they proved it from Divrei Chalomos. There is one place, though, in Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim Sima Tafresh Nun He, where the Tafresh Nun Aleph, excuse me, where the Shulchan Aruch seems to rely on a Chalom with regard to Nanuim of an Esrig, together with the Lulav. And if you take a look carefully in the Beis Yosef, he writes that the source of this halacha is from the Divrei Rikanti, Finiskala Lokain, V'chalom Laila. That's pretty amazing. So just to summarize, what we're saying is that from the poskim, in general, we see that we don't paskin based on Divrei Chalomos, but yet there are exceptions to that rule. And we do find in the poskim that they gave significance, heavy significance, to the Gilui that took place in a dream. And even if we go to Tashbeitz, that dreams are in a question, we don't know if they're true and genuine and reliable, they're prophecy or not, but that leads us to a suffix in halacha, and then we have to see what rules and principles should kick in with regard to a suffix. That's a pretty heavy measure that's given to Divrei Chalomos. Whether it means we should be machmir in the case of Isa, in the case of Sakana, whether it's Mitzius when the dream is revealing something about reality, and as a result there are repercussions and implications in halacha, that we should take the dream seriously. I mean, this really puts dreams in a whole different perspective. What I don't have time now to discuss with you, maybe we'll have time another time, is the issue of the Shut Meshivas Nefesh. His name was Rav Lev Tzunz, and he wanted to decide on a question about the death of a man. We didn't have proof that he died, you know, a ship that sunk, and whether we could rely on dreams for that. We also have issues about relocating a grave to the land of Eretz Yisrael. We don't usually take a person out of the remains of a person out of a grave in order to relocate them, but what happens if there was a dream and the person who died came to his relative in a dream to reveal to him that he wants to be reburied, relocated?
Okay, great.